two very different moments for Benedict XVI as he's about to depart on an apostolic visit, his 18th abroad, which takes him to Spain for the second time as Roman pontiff, during which he'll preside over two masses and consecrate an altar in a very special church. Without giving too much away, it's a journey which begins on Saturday as the Pope goes as pilgrim to one of the most popular pilgrimage sites in Europe, Santiago de Compostela, and then ends Sunday in Barcelona. Lydia O'Kane is travelling with the Pope. She's familiar with both these places. Stay tuned.
It's a visit that lasts just 32 hours, believe it or not. But as always with Pope Benedict, there's so much packed in to this visit, and it's a visit in two parts. What I'll do is I'll just give a rundown of what the Pope will be doing as soon as he steps off the plane at the international airport of Santiago de Compostela. He's due to arrive there at about 11:30 on Saturday morning.
Of course, Santiago is a pilgrimage site, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is the reason he's going. He's going for the Holy Year or Jubilee Year, and that's celebrated, well, it depends actually. This year it's 2010, the next year it'll be celebrated as in 11 years' time.
It's connected to the Apostle James.
That's right, it's connected to the Apostle James, and he's patron saint of Spain. And his feast day is celebrated on the 25th of July. Now, when his feast day falls on a Sunday, that's when it's a holy year. So this year, his feast day fell on a Sunday. And in 11 years' time, it'll have fallen on a Sunday as well. Mm. So this is the reason for that.
Of course, our listeners will probably have heard of Santiago de Compostela because it's very popular.
Well, it's one of the most famous pilgrimage sites in Christendom, you should say. After Rome, after Jerusalem, there's Santiago de Compostela, and it's been a pilgrimage site since the 9th century. St. James himself preached in the Holy Land, but he came to Spain, and legend has it that he received a vision from the Virgin Mary, who told him to go back to Judea. And when he went back to Judea, he was beheaded. And his body was brought back by his disciples to Santiago de Compostela. And what you see now is the cathedral there, and his remains are said to be there. So this is the huge draw. And the pilgrimage route is called the Way of St. James, and there are many different routes you can take.
From different countries.
Yeah. Absolutely. So there are many different routes you can take, all leading to this climactic point of the cathedral at Santiago de Compostela, which the Pope will be visiting on his visit before saying Mass in the afternoon on Saturday. So it'll give him a chance to venerate the relics of
St. But the Mass won't be at the cathedral. Then.
The Mass will be in the piazza outside. So you can imagine, I've already been talking to the pilgrims' office at Santiago de Compostela. So it's a holy year already, Veronica. So there are already more people this year coming because of the holy year, because of the Jubilee year. And because of Pope Benedict's visit, there has been more registrations. So I can imagine when Pope Benedict celebrates Mass on that day, there will be thousands of people there to be with him on that Saturday. So really, it'll be a wonderful occasion.
Santiago is geographically in the northwest.
The region is Galicia. And I mean, Galicia is an autonomous region, and it has its own traditions, it has its own language, Galician. So it's very much its own boss, as it were. It has a devolved government, and it's one of a number of autonomous regions in Spain. There's also Catalonia, where the Pope will be visiting, and we'll come to that. Barcelona, which is the capital of Catalonia, that's another autonomous region as well. And we should point out that Santiago de Compostela is the capital of that region as well. So it does have that accolade. Yes, it does have that accolade.
And Barcelona is the capital of Catalonia.
Indeed.
So very different the second day.
Well, it's a very different day. I mean, the first day is all about pilgrimage and celebrating pilgrimage. And the Pope likes to call himself the Pilgrim Pope, and he's been on so many pilgrimages. I mean, he's been to Lourdes, he's been to Fatima, and it's a celebration of pilgrimage, really.
Absolutely.
It's a celebration, definitely.
And he has the symbolic pilgrim shell in his coat of arms.
That's right.
So getting on to Barcelona then.
Barcelona, the second, of course, part of this
Sunday.
Visit. He's there, again, a short time, but it's an important time because he's going to consecrate a very famous church or temple, as it is also called, the expiatory temple of the Sagrada Familia. And this is, at the moment, a tourist site. It's never celebrated mass. There's a crypt down below, but it's never had a mass celebrated in it. And when the Pope goes, he will consecrate the church and the altar.
It's a striking architecture, isn't it?
It's absolutely striking. It's, of course, the
You've
architect.
You've seen it, haven't you?
I have seen it. It's wonderful. I mean, anyone who's been there, there's just a point when you come at it and you just think in amazement. It's
full
a fantastic
of symbolism.
Structure. It's full of symbolism because Gaudí was very much a man
architect.
Of faith, and he was the architect, and it's also full. He thought a lot about nature, and anyone who goes inside it will see a lot of the columns look like columns of trees. They look like tree trunks almost. He was very into nature, as it were, and you see that in the Sagrada Familia, in the architecture of the Sagrada Familia.
And he has a good knowledge of spiritual significance, no, Gaudí?
Gaudí, yes, indeed. I mean, he certainly was a very spiritual man, and there's also a cause being opened up for his beatification. He practically lived at the Sagrada Familia, and unfortunately, coming out of the Sagrada Familia, he was killed by a tram, which he is now buried underneath the Sagrada Familia in the crypt, which is consecrated. It has a normal church which has celebrations, weddings. Actually, when I was there, there was a wedding being celebrated in the crypt. It's very much an everyday running church. But as I say, the second highlight of the visit will be this consecration. There'll be the solemn rite of consecration. He will proclaim it a basilica after that. It'll be proclaimed a minor basilica.
Is anything else happening in Barcelona?
Well, after he consecrates the Sagrada Familia, he will have the opportunity to visit a centre for disabled children, and it's called the Obra Beneficio Nen Deu, and it's a centre that really helps children with severe disabilities such as Down syndrome, autism, and the Pope will be visiting there after consecrating the Sagrada Familia, so it'll be a chance for him to see the children. And I hear that the children have been preparing very hard for this visit. I was talking to one of the teachers, and she was telling me that they've been painting pictures for the Pope and really getting very ready for this visit, and they're all dying for the Pope to come. There's a real anticipation for the Pope coming, and I was talking to the teacher, and she called it a privilege. And it's the only place, it's the only school, it's the only centre that he'll be visiting apart from the consecration of the Sagrada Familia.
On his second apostolic visit to Spain, because he went to Valencia.
He did. He went to Valencia for the World Meeting of Families in 2006. And it's interesting about that because times have changed since 2006 in Spain. There has been new legislation with regard to abortion, which was brought in just this year. And Spain has also, like many other European countries, gone through a severe financial crisis, which is still ongoing. And the government has again, like other countries, has brought through austerity measures, which have been fairly unpopular in Spain. So there's been a shift. There's been a shift in the social and economic landscape of Spain since the Pope's visit. So I think that the Pope may mention something about that. Certainly in the United Kingdom, he did bring up the fact of the financial crisis, which has, as I was saying, engulfed many European countries. But that may be a point. But also the interesting thing about Pope Benedict is this whole aspect of new evangelization. Most recently, he authorized a new pontifical council for new evangelization. And it's very much, to me, seems like the Sagrada Familia, the consecration of the Sagrada Familia, almost is very symbolic of a new evangelization, the fact that it's going to be consecrated as a new basilica to spread the faith, to almost like a rebirth, almost. It's very symbolic of that new evangelization that Pope Benedict has so often talked about.
Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.